Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into a special Tuesday edition of Preds Insiders. ESPN 102.5 The Game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here for the next hour alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. A little under 24 hours from one of the most special nights in Bridgestone Arena history as the Preds shut out the Carolina Hurricanes in the regular season finale and the final tune-up before the two teams play in round one. And not only was it just your run-of-the-mill 5-0 shutout, it was Pecorine in perhaps his final game in a Predators uniform pitching that shutout with 30 saves, and the atmosphere kept building and building and building throughout the night, all centered around Pecorine, and then he takes a victory lap. And joining me now is Justin Bradford. And Justin, what a cool, special night inside Smashville. I wasn't there. I'm kicking myself for not being there. You were. How would you describe what that moment was like, not only for the victory lap, but everything throughout the night when it was kind of the elephant in the arena of what was going on?
That's definitely one way to put it, Ryan. It was special. And I know that's actually an underwhelming word because it was more than special. You could feel a different energy in the arena as soon as you walked in. Everyone was just knowing that there's the potential. We don't know. I mean, Ryan Miller, everybody knew. Everybody knew when it was his last game that he's calling it quits. Pecorine still doesn't know. And so everyone was treating it as a what if, just in case, if it is kind of thing, all those question marks. And so going into that was actually great to see that people were still wanting to make sure that they gave him a farewell just in case, even if they didn't know. They weren't ignoring that fact. And you could feel it just in warmups that when the Predators took warmups and Pecorine took his crease for the first time during warmups, there was cheering from the crowd. And what I noticed too, that the crowd arrived pretty early comparatively. I mean, especially a weeknight game, it doesn't always happen for crowds to be able to arrive early. And they were there early with plenty of signs dedicated to Pecorine. And you could hear the cheering for him just in warmups. That's how you know it's going to be a special night, when the crowd can already sense something. And it also shows too how much this city has grown up in terms of recognizing special moments in hockey, and how it's grown as a hockey city as well, when they're recognizing special moments that you have people in there that aren't just there. Yeah, we've seen the fan base change, but it's still the knowledge base of the hockey fan there. They understand the big event. It's not just a social moment for them going to these games. It is still there. They are fans. They're appreciative of Pecorine in the moment. And you could feel that the entire time. I mean, the chanting of Pekka, Pekka, multiple times during this game, that it hasn't really happened like that probably since the deep playoff run, more than anything else. To hear the chants like that when he would make some stellar saves. I mean, he got tested a lot in that game against Carolina. And the moments that you could tell he was sharing too, just during warmups as well, with his son and fiance being there, those special moments, and you could tell it meant a lot to him. Then after the game, when he took his little victory lap, and it was Brad Richardson that told him that, hey, take a lap to thank the fans. And he did that really slow lap, just basically just thanking the fans, because he doesn't know. And you can kind of see that he doesn't know, that he kind of wants it, but he's not sure what's going to be the best for him, because there's that contemplative mindset. You could see just the emotion in his face during post-game interviews too, that he is truly contemplating. He does not know his future yet. But then Pekka being Pekka, not wanting the spotlight on him, not wanting to really talk about him, but talk about the things that are ahead for this team and the organization and the bright things ahead for the future of this team. That's pure Pekka right there, to not want to have the moment on him, even though he knows it's his moment. He knows it's his to bask in, even though he doesn't tend to like to do that. And that's what was amazing to witness, was the way that the fans treated him, the way that his own teammates did, especially, you know, all these veterans were scratched to get a rest before the playoff start. And they even came out to the bench to celebrate Pecorine at the end of the game. And so it was just great to see this natural thing happen because, I mean, Predators PR didn't know this was going to happen. Nobody knew this was going to happen after the game. And just those natural moments like that, where you didn't even see that, you didn't even see people leaving early. You didn't see them leave as soon as the horn sounded. They wanted to make sure they gave Pecorine the adoration he deserves as one of the all-time best to play in the city of Nashville. That obviously belongs on Nashville sports Mount Rushmore more than anything else. And hey, who knows, maybe like Matt Duchene said and joked that hey, this is a little awkward because we're gonna do this game 82 next year.
Yeah.
So you never know what's gonna happen, but it'll be interesting to see. He said nothing's concrete in terms of his decision for the future, and we'll figure that out in the offseason. But I'd love to see him have one more year and actually make it a farewell year so you can really just appreciate what little games he may play in, and maybe, you know, 20 games or so next season if he does it, but to still be able to fully appreciate it, not just have this one be this last.
Well, I feel like what happened last night was so special because you don't know.
Exactly.
It wasn't scripted. And I tweeted out, you know, I quote tweeted the video of him taking the victory lap, saying that you could not have scripted this any better if you were a Preds fan or if you were Pecorine. But it was so good last night because it wasn't scripted. Everything was spontaneous. And, you know, the fact that you had the situation warm-ups, like you mentioned, they showed the clip in the third period coming back from this Smashville standing O of him skating back to the net, of him touching his heart and basically signifying a thank you to the fans, and the fact that his teammates all came out onto the bench watching his victory lap, pushing him to go out for a victory lap. Everything that happened last night made me think that this is it for Pecorine, at least in Nashville. And I know Jay Grossman, Pecorine's agent, told Adam Vingan that he is 100% playing hockey next year. So maybe he does come back to the Predators. There have been rumors of him going over to Finland and ending his hockey career at home. But how everything unfolded last night made me think that that was it for Pecorine in terms of him starting in net for the Nashville Predators.
And that very well could be. And as we've seen, things change when guys have rest. I mean, I'll throw it out there. Mike Fisher thought he was done. And not to say that the comeback was the best, but after some rest and everything too, and recuperation, felt that there's still more left in the tank. And I think, as we've seen too in this season, I think Pecorine overall played fairly well, especially in the time when Saros was injured. He's the one that helped this Nashville Predators team get back in the right track when Saros was down, and he had a pretty decent road trip there. And with some rest, I think Rene still has plenty left in the tank. He said as well, and we all know people can say things, but Pecorine has shown how genuine he is his entire career, how good of a person he is, how genuine he is, and taking him for his word that he wants to retire as a Nashville Predator, which says a lot. There's ways that athletes can avoid those questions, as we all know. There's ways they can avoid saying those statements that are more concrete type statements. So I think it's one of those things with David Poile and the way this franchise is going, that if he comes back and feels like he still has more left in the tank, it's a 1-year deal, and Pecorine would do it for a limited amount of money, knowing the situation the team could be in, cash strapped, depending on what they do with the center situation, things like that too. So I cannot see him playing the NHL anywhere else.
Right.
Obviously. But I think in terms of, if they want to swing it and twist a little bit, it's like, you know, his final NHL game, retire as a Nashville Predator there, and then can still go and play in Europe if he wants to play, you know, another thing at home. But then again, I don't know how much I trust in those reports, because very few things are coming out about that. But then, like you said, his agent says he's 100% playing hockey. And I think Pecorine still has plenty left in the tank in terms of to play one more year and to try to chase that cup. Granted, the Nashville Predators aren't in the best position to go cup chasing right now for Pecorine. They can obviously still surprise this season. We never know. We've seen, like you even tweeted out, Ryan, in terms of their percentage chance of making the playoffs not too long ago. Anything can happen when you make the playoffs, but they aren't in the best area to be chasing that cup for Pecorine, but they did their job last night, and that was to win one for Pekka with him getting his start of what could be his last. And that's what you like to see, is that his team showed up, even a team that was dressing seven rookies, had a lot of veterans sit. And yes, Carolina was sitting plenty of guys as well, but that team came out firing all cylinders to make sure Pekka got the win. And that's what you like to see. And so I'd like to see him one more year and say, hey, this is my farewell season, this is my final year, and see what happens there. But you know, it's all going to come down to how he feels in probably about a month and a half.
The victory lap. I want to focus in on the victory lap, because I felt like that was symbolic of what these last 12 years have been like for Pecorine. Because the fans have loved Pecorine dearly. Pecorine has been their guy, and we're forever going to see 35 jerseys inside Bridgestone Arena. I mean, you see some Shea Weber jerseys in there now. I think you are going to see Pecorine jerseys inside Smashville for the duration of time. And on the flip side, Pecorine has loved this city so much, and he was the one that committed to this franchise and this city on his terms in 2011 when the expiring contracts were out there for him, Ryan Suter, and Shea Weber. Pecorine was the one who signed on the dotted line first and said that he was going to stay long term. And fans don't forget that. And, you know, I feel like that, however long it was, 90 seconds, 2 minutes of him thanking the fans on that victory lap was just so symbolic of what his tenure has been as the face of this franchise.
It absolutely was. And to think, too, the symbolism behind Pecorine signing his contracts on his birthday.
Yeah.
that one right there, too, is just the symbolicism behind that. And we think, too, back at this time when he signed that deal that went from 2012 to 2019, that's when there was still a lot of trigger warnings for general managers to Rick DiPietro. That you wouldn't sign a goaltender to that long of a deal, to that big of a cap hit, because you never know what could happen, and you could be totally screwed very quickly, as the Islanders were. And that was a risk that David Poile took, but it was an investment in their goaltending. It was Pecorine investing in the Nashville Predators organization to say, look, I'm going to be the backstop, and I'm going to be something you don't have to worry about for many years to come. And then after that, he takes a discount. I mean, this is soon after winning the Vezina, he takes a discount to stay in Nashville and drops it down to a $5 million cap hit from $7 million, understanding the situation, taking a hometown discount. So those things right there, too, how dedicated he's been to this organization and to this city. And that's just on the ice product in terms of the hockey business side. But how about his work in the community and how dedicated he's been to the community? I mean, you mentioned Shea Weber, and they developed the 365 Foundation.
Yep.
And how dedicated he's been to just children in the stands, of throwing pucks to kids in the stands, and the big smiles he has and posing for pictures. And on the media side, Ryan, for us, how often he's taken extra time to speak with media, asking so many different questions and finding ways to answer questions, even if they're a bad question, but making sure people get the quotes that they need, or after a practice, inviting people like me to, instead of standing in front of him where it feels awkward, where he invites you to sit next to him. Yep. To conduct the interview. Those are the things that stand out to me in terms of the type of person he is, and why it's more than just the product on the ice, but it's the person in general that Pecorine is. And that's why he means so much to Nashville.
Well, to add to that, whenever training camp would start, he would make a point to say hello to you. I won't speak in past terms. He does make a point to say hello right to you and ask how you're doing, how was your summer, when I would say 98% of athletes don't do that. They just don't. So, you know, the fact that he's such a legend in this town, but also so humble and so genuine to everyone that he interacts with, whether it's a fan, team employee, teammate, whatever, I think that speaks so highly of Pecorine. Where would you rank last night in terms of the moments that we've seen with this team inside Bridgestone Arena?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that it's a loaded question, but it's up there for me with a few of those playoff clinchers that we've seen mm-hmm. over the years, whether it's Detroit in 2012 or I would not put it on the same stratosphere as Anaheim, game six in 2017. But triple overtime Mike Fisher against San Jose, I mean, that is a moment that we're going to be talking about for years.
So for me then, see, you named the four moments. Those were the four moments right there inside that arena. So, I mean, for me, then it's top three. I'm not one that likes to rank them in favorites of one, two, three in this order kind of thing, but top three moment for sure. And so Pecorine there, the Detroit series victory, and then I would then put the Anaheim one, and then somewhere after those three – obviously would be the Mike Fisher one, just in terms of thinking about what it meant for the franchise in those. The Mike Fisher overtime one, I think was a defining moment in terms of how awesome it was. But you look at the Detroit one and getting over the hurdle there, the Anaheim one and making it to the second round, and then the Pecorini one, just in terms of the face of the franchise.
Well,
those are those three for me.
And clinching the West in 2017 in game six against Anaheim in 2017.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it felt very similar to the empty net goal that David Legault scored to seal the first ever playoff series. I don't know. I mean, it's different. It's unique from any of those because it's not a play that happened within the game. It's the entire night and that night being capped off with a victory lap that we have never seen before in inside Bridgestone Arena. So, I mean, just a cool, cool night. For all Preds fans, for Pecorine, for anyone who has ever spent any time watching this Nashville Predators franchise, you know how much Pecorine means to this franchise. And I think anyone who has watched this team over the years, who was either there last night or watching on TV, A, got choked up, and B, appreciated the crap out of what that night meant for the franchise and number 35. Coming up next, the future of Pecorine. Will it be in Nashville or will it be in Finland? We'll get to that, plus some of our favorite memories of 35 between the pipes for the Nashville Predators. And later on in the show, we're going to get into this round one matchup between the Preds and the Canes. I'm pretty confident in this series, and I'm going to tell you why, but that's coming up later on. More talk about Pecorine coming up next here on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth. He's Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, and you're listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, Pekka, you mentioned being emotional all day. Just what were some of the thoughts that you had today kind of leading up to this game and leading up to this moment tonight?
I mean, just even yesterday and today, just, you know, talking to my family back home. I mean, anytime you think about your family, your parents, things like that, what they've done for you, it's, you know, they're the biggest reason I'm here. And you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the situation, they can't travel right now. So I'm sure they watch the game back home. But things like that, I think it just makes you reflect a little bit, makes you look back to your career, your upbringing, your junior career and things like that. And, you know, those were some of the things that I was thinking about. And then now, you know, I have my own family and, you know, I was fortunate to have them at Bridgestone and you know, yeah, even in the warmups, just seeing them made me emotional.
That was Pecorine last night after the Predators 5-0 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes. And Pecorine, a 30-save shutout, his 60th career shutout, and he moves into the top 20 of all time for goaltender wins in the National Hockey League. Ryan Port, Justin Bradford here with you. It's Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Justin, I felt like that, listening to that soundbite, was the moment where I felt like Pekka knows this is a very real possibility that last night was it for him in terms of starting a game for the Nashville Predators. It could happen in the playoffs, but we all know UC Saros has overtaken the number one spot here in the last couple of months, and he's been one of the best goaltenders, if not the best goaltender in the entire league since mid-March when the Preds started this run. So hearing Pecorine talk a lot of big picture there and the lead up to last night's game and the fact that he got emotional during warmups, and when they showed him on the pregame show on TV, you could see when he was saying hello to his little son, he was wiping away a tear. And just the emotion that went into it, it felt to me like last night was it. And, you know, I'm watching the game last night with my wife, and she's a little confused during the victory lap because she's thinking that something had already been announced. She asked me, was something announced today that this would be it? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you think he's going to announce after the game that this is it? And at that point, I'm all choked up watching watching this live. And I looked at her and I said, I don't think he has to. Like, I think what we're watching right now is unofficially it for him in a Predators uniform. Could be wrong. He could be back. David Poile said today on Darren Donick and Chase that he has not talked to Pecorine about what's next for him. Pecorine did not want to go down that road after the game in terms of his future and what the future may hold. But I just thought that clip right there that we heard, Justin, was a sign to me that last night was indeed a send-off.
I mean, it felt like that. And it's very obvious that Pekka was fully aware of it and knew going in it's going to be emotional, because I'm getting the feeling that he truly doesn't know. In terms of, he knows it's there, he knows it's an option, he knows he could, and obviously it'd be going out on a win, and a big win like that too, in front of the home crowd. What a way to go out if you're not going out by winning the Stanley Cup, right? That's a good way to go out. And you never know, we could see him in the playoffs, or anything could happen in the playoffs in terms of, knock on wood, doesn't happen, but there's an injury that occurs, or a mega blowout's happening or something like that, where you send Pekka in. But all things considered, they stay the way we're expecting them to. Pecorine's not going to be playing in the playoffs. And it's used to Saras's crease right now. So very understanding of the moment that was at hand. And, I mean, talking before the Carolina game on Saturday, I think everyone is obviously very aware of, guys, if they win this game and they secure their playoff bid, that means Monday won't, quote unquote, matter in terms of getting in the playoffs. And obviously Pecorine will start. You got to go do it. You got to take care of business. You can't wait for Dallas to lose a game, even though obviously they ended up doing the thing. But the Predators have to go and take care of business so you can make sure that Rene can get a start at home. Because now you start thinking of the what ifs of, well, what if things kept going and Monday was the one they had to win? Would they still have started Pecorine, or would they have given it to Saros again because of the way that Saros has been playing? You don't know. And that would not have been the way to go out. So everything lined up accordingly the way it was supposed to. And obviously the motion was there and everyone knew going into this. And Pekka, I see not a look of confusion, but a look of uncertainty on his face that he knows it's coming down. He's spoken about it openly before, right? How he all knows season. His time is winding down. He knows it's Saros's crease now. Yep. That he knows that he has played the role of mentor, and he's definitely taken that role and run with it so well and being a mentor to Eustace Saros. And so it's going to come down to, in a few weeks, how does he truly feel? How does he think his body feels? What does he want to do in terms of home life with his soon-to-be wife and son right now? It's all those things are going to come into an account, because it gets really emotional during a game. But then when you come down off that high and you start thinking of the pros and cons of what's going to happen in your life and what you want to happen in your life, do you feel like your body can still take this? If, since you're going to be a backup, you get all this rest, can your body still take it? Can you handle it even better because you know you're going to get rest and it's not going to be the pressure on you to be the starter? The other question that I can throw out there too is, Connor Ingram was probably looking like he would be a certified backup at least next season potentially. But obviously he's had his own share of things that he's need to figure it out on his own and trying to get back into the swing of things. And that therefore he hasn't played much this season going through the player assistance program. And I think that was one of those things in terms of the plan in place,
sure,
that if Ingram was probably showing more signs that, I mean, he had a stellar year in Milwaukee last season and he could have grown on that this year to say, hey, it's time for him to at least be a backup in the NHL. And that would have worked worked out well after waiting for Askarov. Now there's more questions. And I think there's more questions because of all these things that have happened too, that if Ingram is really showing out, then people would have been like, okay, Pekka probably can understand. You can understand Pekka retiring and being gone. But now, you know, the situation is a little more in question. That's like, hey, come back for one more year. It could be great. not too sure what's going to happen with other backups in the system, because the Predators have signed plenty of prospects in the system that are in the crease as well. So they have some more prospects signed to contracts in the National Predators prospect pool now. So all those questions coming up, I still don't think he knows, but if there's a way to go out, that's the way to go out right there, and to make sure to soak it in. So it's not one of those moments where people are wishing that they would have been able to send him off. Yeah. I know it wasn't a full capacity crowd, but it's still a large crowd. And obviously plenty of people watching and very aware of the situation. They're able to experience whether they're at home or in the arena. And obviously there are more media there. Last night there have been pretty much all season, and being very, very aware of that too. So at least they got that moment. At least everyone got that moment. And it wasn't a, what if you look back and look back the last game he played this season, what is that, the last game? At least he had this game if he so chooses to retire.
Well, and Pekka can do whatever he wants, and no one is going to blame him for whatever decision he makes in the off season. He can come back. He can decide that he wants to continue to be that mentor to Saros and essentially be the backup now that Saros has grabbed the reins of being the starter, and Preds fans aren't going to be upset about it. He can decide to go back home to Finland and finish his hockey career there with his family there. You know, he spoke there in that clip earlier in the segment coming back from break about how his parents weren't able to travel here. I think another sign of him mentioning that to me, thinking that this is absolutely Pekka's send-off, or it was last night. But I don't think David Poile is going to push him to make any sort of decision. It is Pekka's decision. When he makes that call, the Preds just go from there, whichever route Pekka wants to go down. But not it says a lot about Pekka, because not every athlete gets to decide something like this on their own terms and have everyone be okay with it, no matter which direction you go down. So certainly going to be interesting to see how he handles his future in Nashville and in the sport of hockey. Just real quick, now that we're kind of in reflection mode with Pekka, even though he hasn't officially said that he's retiring or leaving Nashville after the end of the season, what are some moments for you, Justin, in his playing career that stand out that you feel like you're going to remember forever and Preds fans are going to remember forever?
Well, obviously, one of the top ones is going to be the goal.
Yes.
That's going to be one of the biggest ones. And I know that's more recent than anything else, but it's just because the true elation on his face, and he's talked about wanting to score. I mean, that's one of those things. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, it'd be cool to score. I want to score.
Right.
It's been a big thing for him to score, and so he finally did it. That was big. Another one of those things is him coming back from his weird, weird injury. Gosh, it seems like so long ago, because it really is so long ago, where he had the infection, and that just kept him out for so much of the year. And I know some folks even went up to Milwaukee to see. I think it was Jeremy K. Gover and Robbie Stanley drove all the way to Milwaukee to see him.
Yep.
Perform there in his reconditioning stint, for him making his comeback from weird injuries, being in Las Vegas and talking to him before him winning the Vezina Trophy at the NHL Awards. That's a personal moment for me. And it's not even on the ice. Most of my things are not even on the ice, Brian. That's the thing. That shows the kind of person he is, that it's not necessarily on the ice. It's me having those little one-on-one conversations with him, to where he was truly giving time and attention that most athletes, and I say most athletes just because they're so busy and they're always getting pulled in different directions, but he always would make time for people. So interviewing him on the red carpet there at the All-Star game and seeing him have fun at the All-Star game too, and being in net with a guitar.
Yep.
Is another one of those fun moments. And then obviously some of those ridiculous saves with his stick that he's able to save, make multiple saves with the knob of his stick, or with just the skinniest part of his stick as well. His ridiculous acrobatic types of saves. Those are all the ones that stick out. There aren't going to be, when I go back at it, because I'm obviously on the spot right now and looking at specific games, it's just those little brief moments But for me with Pecorino, it's mostly going to be off the ice. Are those things that the type of person he is. And yeah, there's going to be those stellar saves that he's made or the goal or things like that. But it's those moments to where he's proven that he's an elite athlete and a genuine good person. Those are things that stand out. And those are things that'll make his legacy live on in the city too. Aren't just the moments on the ice, but it's going to be those moments of what he did to other people and all those good things that he did for other people. And those are the impressions that he left on different folks as well. Those are the things that are going to stand out most to me.
The big one that will resonate with me forever is another one that is symbolic of the relationship between Pecorine and this city. And that was game three of the cup final against Pittsburgh, where he got run out of game two. He did not look good in games one and two of the cup final against the Pens. And there were questions from the national media of who was going to start game three, even though everybody knew Pecorino was going to be in net. It was a useless storyline going into game three. But Pecorino leads the team out for warmups for game three, and the entire building is full chanting his name.
Ooh,
and yeah. Instead of in a bigger market where fans may have bristled at the goalie or wanted to see the backup, in this market, in this city, in that arena with this fan base, they were pushing Pecorino to bounce back from a porous game two. And Pecorino had an unreal game three, an unreal game four, and forced the Stanley Cup final to go back to Pittsburgh tied at two games apiece. That warm-up is one that will forever resonate with me. Just looking around, seeing a full building, the first ever Stanley Cup final game in this city, and they're all chanting his name after he got pulled in game two.
That was a moment. Those types of things are always going to stand out, and a player's ability to bounce back and how they're able to prove themselves. And he's been able to show that so many times. I mean, yeah, coming off the weird injury. I mean, that's what ability to bounce back. That could be career ending for so many people. And we've seen it with multiple athletes. I mean, Ryan Johansson had that thing. Kevin Fiala had those major injuries. And we've seen so many different athletes have those major injuries. So Pecorino, his ability to bounce back, just a true competitor as well. But a true competitor and a good human being. I mean, on the ice, you can see how intense he can be. I look back to that stick slamming moment against the post.
Yep.
Where he's breaking his stick. But in the locker room, even after a loss, and he'll take all the responsibility for a loss, but will never take responsibility for a win. That's the kind of person he is.
Well, if last night was it for Pecorino, we don't know yet. Who knows what he'll do beyond this season. But if last night was it, and if that is the lasting memory of 35 between the pipes for the Nashville Predators, I am so glad that he got that moment, because he so deserved that moment. He deserved everything that happened last night, from the crowd being there earlier than usual all season long in warmups, the crowd chanting his name throughout the whole game after big saves that he made, and then getting the shutout, getting the celebration from his teammates, and then getting the victory lap. Pecorino deserved that, and I'm so glad that he got that. So coming up next, we are going to get into the round one matchup between the Preds and the Canes. Why I'm confident and why I may have been wrong. All that coming up next. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. And this is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth and Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio here with you on this Tuesday evening. If you want to hear more of Justin Bradford, you can hear him Wednesday night, so tomorrow night at 8 p.m., as he and the Penalty Box Radio crew get you set for the round one matchup between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice for all your dental or sleep apnea needs. Visit KellyERice.com. So, Justin, the Preds are taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. They could potentially play the Carolina Hurricanes 9 straight times between the end of the regular season and if this series in round one goes 7 games. It could be 9 straight games between two teams, which I would imagine by the 7th game of round one, they would just completely despise each other. And I teased before the break why I'm confident and why I may have been wrong. And back on trade deadline day, I felt like they needed to trade Mikael Granlund and maybe even Eric Halla and get assets in return, because this team has gone for it for way too long. And at the end of the series, I may still feel that way. But this team in the last couple of months, they're on a roll. They're 27-1 in their last 28 games. And they're playing a brand of hockey that I don't think they are just magically not going to play in the first round against the Carolina Hurricanes. And because of that, I feel pretty confident about this Preds team going up against Carolina. Now, Carolina is very good. They are a worthy Stanley Cup contender. But personally, I'm not scared of Carolina. I mean, like I said, the Preds are on a roll. They're playing with house money. The Hurricanes are facing pressure as a team for the first time. They've been the underdog in each of the last couple of postseasons. Now they're the favorite. Now they're one of the Stanley Cup contenders. Now they have a bullseye on their back. And we saw what that did to the Preds just a few years ago when they went from underdog to favorite, when they went from the hunter to the hunted. And I'm not saying the Hurricanes have really had their feet kicked up waiting for the playoffs. They've played very well down the stretch. But this Preds team right now does not have an on-off switch that they need to flip before game one. They can take the two games that they played against Carolina to close out the regular season and take it into Raleigh for game one, and I would feel pretty good, especially if UC Saros continues to play at a high level. And if that happens, we all know a hot goalie is the great equalizer in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This team's playing with a swagger. They have the ability to get under Carolina's skin. I mean, Justin, call me a homer, but I watched these two games the Preds played against Carolina and saw a Preds team throw a punch before before the series ever started and set the tone of how they know they want to play against that team. And if Carolina does not match that, the Preds are going to make life miserable for them in the next couple of weeks and might just pull the upset. So I'm confident in this Preds team, much more confident than I ever expected to be in this Preds team going into a postseason compared to what I thought a month or two ago. So you've heard me lay out why I'm confident. Where do you stand on all this and this matchup between the Preds and the Canes?
Nowhere near where you're at.
Okay.
Last night's game doesn't count for that. I do not look at last night's game as a preview or anything of that sort. The way I look at this, of last night's game, especially when John Hines laid it out in post game, was that you had a lot of players that were basically pushing for an opportunity to make the game one roster. And John Hines mentioned that he spoke with the team and that they pretty much had their lineup set, but there are a few spots where they want guys to battle to get in the lineup. I mean, that's why I said before the game, when you looked at what Carolina was scratching, which is a few of their top guys, and what Nashville was scratching, which was most of them, that it was going to look like a preseason game where you see guys battle to make the lineup. And that was one of the big things that I liked about Nashville last night, was seeing a lot of these young guys, a guy like Rocco Grimaldi too, who you could tell the frustration of being scratched, a healthy scratch, has gotten to him and what he pulled off last night. But then guys continuing to battle for their spot, like Tanner Jeannot, especially with Matthew Olivier healthy, like Trennan, who has been in the lineup, but now with the Predators getting healthy, maybe he is one of those question marks too, even though I want to see him out there. And then you have the third line, which is where Grimaldi would tend to fit, but it's kind of log jammed there with Halla and Cousins and multiple other guys. So that's what I take into account for that game last night, was that. Now, Nashville showed that they can play better with Carolina when they got their victory at home on Saturday the 8th, that 3-1 win, because that was a win that Nashville saw, got to get in the playoffs. It is on us to do it. We cannot wait for Dallas to do this. They did it. But Carolina overall, I don't think Rod Brindamore is letting them fly by and ease into the playoffs just because of the way that he coaches, and they still had the President's Trophy up for grabs. Granted, that would only mean something when you get into the deeper rounds because they already had the number one locked up. But the speed of Carolina is something that the Predators overall just cannot match over a seven-game series. The speed, the overall skill for the team, the way that Nashville is going to have to beat Carolina in any of these games to even stand a chance is they got to clear out the crease, which they did a good job of that. Both these games, they did a very good job of that to protect Jussi Saros, to where he doesn't have to be stealing games and making stellar saves every single time the shot's coming in on them. and to score timely goals. And you see certain players that could absolutely step up, and that's what they're going to need to do. I mean, the power play. Predators power play has been, I want to say, abysmal, but it hasn't been the same even with Tolvanen and Forsberg coming back.
True.
It took a huge hit when those guys got injured. Before they were injured, the power play was just, it was vibing, for lack of a better
term. Yes,
it
was.
It was definitely vibing out there. And that's a huge thing in the playoffs, is special teams. And you look at the power play percentages. Now, this is overall for the season, but Carolina's at a 25-6. Nashville's at a 17-6. It's a huge discrepancy. Same thing with the penalty kill. Nashville dug themselves in a tremendous hole early in the season. But penalty kill percentage for Carolina, 85.2. Nashville, 75.4. I mean, in terms of the overall points getters for these teams as well. And I'm not trying to thump on Nashville. It's just that's why consistently throughout the season, Carolina's been a much better team. Now, anything can happen in the playoffs, and a hot goaltender can change everything. It's just that it's hard for me to have confidence in the Predators winning this series, given how good of a team Carolina is. Do I think Nashville can win a game or two? Absolutely. I think Nashville can win a game, especially at home. I think is where Nashville could find success and push Carolina a little bit. I just think Carolina overall is vastly more skilled, which is a dumb moment right now because Nashville has a lot of young skill. But Carolina is at the beginning of their bell curve and trending up right now in terms of their overall performance. And we just look at, and I'll throw an advanced stat out there in terms of X goals differential. The Predators are below zero right now. They've been there since the middle of April. That to me, they haven't won games, but it's just in terms of the trends and everything too, they're going to need a lot of lucky bounces to go in and drive towards that net a lot more. And Carolina is going to be well prepared for that game. If you can see a line like Eric Halla's line get up and going and make some differential goals, that's a key factor right there, because the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be prepared for those top two Predators lines. It's going to be that third line that we always seem to talk about that can make a difference. And Eric Hall has been playing very well since the trade deadline. So that could be a difference maker right there too. So yeah, anything can happen in the playoffs. I'm just nowhere near as confident as you are in that. And right now I still say just enjoy the ride, folks, because what a roller coaster was to get to this point, to even be talking about the Predators in the playoffs, that you can call it a minor success that they even made it to this after what we saw through the end of January and February and the beginning of March. So enjoy it while it lasts, however long it lasts. It could last for a month and a half, 2 months. It could last for just 2 weeks. But either way, really enjoy it, because this team showed they still have some fight in them, and they have a lot of young guys that are ready to push for roster spots and continue to make this team make the playoffs.
Well, I do think the status of Jacob Slavin is important in this series. You know, he exited Saturday's game with a lower body injury. Rod Brindamore said that it was more of a precaution than anything, but who knows? I mean, Jacob Slavin may not be at 100%. And the cliche is that, oh, not everybody's at 100%, but if you truly are dealing with something, that can affect you in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I hear everything you're saying. Carolina might make this a quick series. UC Saros may fall back to earth. You know, The only example that we have of UC Saros playing in the playoffs is the qualifying round against Arizona last year, where he was average. But UC Saros also wasn't the hottest goaltender in the entire league leading into that qualifying round. He had, what, 4 months off, 5 months off between starts. So, I mean, I feel pretty good that he's at least going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be .941 save percentage good that he has been since February 27th, but I think he's going to be good. You know, there's no guarantee the Preds top forwards are going to be at their best. I think that is a concern, that you don't really know what you're going to be getting out of Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene. You don't know the health status of Victor Arvidsson going into the series. So that, look, there are certainly question marks with this team, but there have been bigger upsets in the Stanley Cup playoffs over the years. I will say that. I don't think this is a complete David versus Goliath in the first round. And I do think there is something to be said about a team that has played desperate hockey for 2 months just to get into the playoffs, and that feeding into at least the first round or two of the playoffs. We see it almost every year. In a normal year, where a team fighting for their lives in the last 2 months ends up making noise in the playoffs. And I think there are elements of this Predators team. You brought up the special teams. You know, the Preds penalty kill dominated Carolina throughout their season series. They only gave up 2 power play goals to the Canes in their 8 games. I think there are elements of this Predators team where the slipper fits for them to be a Cinderella in these playoffs. I really do. And that's not me saying that they're going to go out and beat Carolina in 4 or 5 games like they showed against Chicago in 2017. There are plenty of differences between this team and the 2017 team where we shouldn't be comparing them to 2017 the whole time. But I do think there is enough on this Preds team, especially if they can get in Carolina's heads early in the series, that they can pull this off.
Okay, so I'll throw the question out at you then, because I know we're getting short on time. What's your prediction?
Well, the official prediction is going to be tomorrow night with Adam Vinken on Preds Insiders at 6 p.m. I haven't made up my mind truly yet on this, but I have been talking myself into this ever since Saturday night. You know, I said this on Robbie and Rex Show the other morning, where watching the last 5 to 10 minutes of that game Saturday night, I felt like Herb Brooks in the movie Miracle, where at the start of the third period, he's telling his team that you can beat these guys.
Right.
I'm sitting there watching the game Saturday as Luke Cunningham scores 2 goals, as that team plays their absolute best hockey that we've seen, you know, in the last couple of weeks, thinking they can beat those guys because they believe they can beat those guys. So, again, I probably sound like a complete homer, but I am drinking the Kool-Aid of what we have watched for 2 months. And I don't think the last 2 months are a fluke.
I wouldn't call it a complete homer, because with the way sports are, and sports are weird, anything can happen. And I mean, not many people were calling for the Predators to beat Chicago. And it's not comparing the teams, it's comparing what they looked like going into it as well. I mean, the Predators had elements of things, but they went into there as the bottom seed of the entirety of the league in there. And yeah, it wasn't about believing or any of those things or the feel good stuff. It was just simply looking at the two teams in general. And then the Predators flipped a switch and went on and did that. I do think the difference here is, though, is that Chicago was already on the downward trend at the end of their bell curve. The Carolina Hurricanes at the beginning of it with a lot of young, good talent too. Those are some of the differences in terms of opponent. Can the Predators pull this off? They could. Percentage chances in terms of Predators pulling it off, I still put it at about 25 in terms of pulling it off. But I still think they could surprise and push Carolina to the limit, make them work harder. I don't think this is going to end in a sweep by any means. I think the Predators are playing too well for it to end in a sweep, that they'll make some of their own puck luck and their own bounces happen. And if anything, like I said, I mean, they've gotten more competitive because of themselves. I mean, John Hines even said it too. It's on the players. The players made themselves better and made it click. The coaching staff was just doing their job and instilling the system. The Predators players decided to make it click and get pushed by each other, and they went and made it happen. So it's props to them on making these things happen and being competitive and playing to the system the right way and doing things that made them successful. And they saw success. They need to build on that success and do the right things properly. So if anything, it gives you hope a little bit for whatever they decide to do in the offseason. They can make those right moves to continue to have the youth in there and playing, so they can continue to reopen that Stanley Cup window, potentially, whatever it may look like, whether it's a true Stanley Cup window of a year or two down the road. It's way better than 3 or 4 years down the road. There's some confidence in this team right now with how they can look by having some good mix of young talent in there as well. And young talent can always surprise people.
Yep. And we all know confidence at this time of year can be a powerful thing. So
absolutely,
we will see what happens starting with game one. Justin, I know which way you're going. I can already tell which way you're going. But I'm sure everyone can tune in to Penalty Box Radio tomorrow night and get your official prediction on round one of Preds v. Canes.
Absolutely. We'll make sure we're talking about that and you know, so many different other things, as always, in Penalty Box Radio.
Awesome. Justin, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Again, if you want to hear the great work of Justin Bradford and the Penalty Box Radio crew, tune in Wednesday night, that is tomorrow night, at 8 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For Justin Bradford, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Preds Insiders. I'll be back here again, same time, same channel, with Adam Vinken of The Athletic, as we go through a full preview of the Preds versus the Hurricanes, and as well the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.